Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We've got a great show lined up for you today, but before we get to our guest, which I actually have two very special guests on today that I'm really excited about interviewing together, but before we get there, let me just remind you that since January, we have been on a journey to prescribe hope for healthy families. We have been adopting habits together for healthy families, 52 habits for healthy families. If you've missed any of them, we are on week 10. Can you believe that, by the way, that we're in week 10 of 2025? If you've missed any of them, you can go to AFR.net. You can go to AFR's app. You can go to any podcast app, and you can find the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes, 1 minute to help your family be healthier, those building blocks, spiritual disciplines. We've been talking for the last 10 weeks about rhythms that your family needs to adopt, and it has been a great journey. Thank you so much to everyone who has joined us, all of the listeners I've heard from who are praying more with their families, who are memorizing scripture together, who are going to church together as a family, who are cultivating playlists for your home, who are practicing intentional gratitude, having a daily devotion. You've got a morning routine and a bedtime routine, and we worked on sleep hygiene. And this week, we are talking about the importance of family dinner. It is so important. I hope you were able to catch the show on Tuesday with Ryan Rush, a pastor who wrote a book just about that. And we'll be talking about that tomorrow on Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. I'll be answering questions about family dinner and how it impacts not only your physical health, but your mental health, your social health, your spiritual health. And I'll be talking about some other current events and things that have been going on. I've got a lot of questions this week, and I'm going to get to as many of them as I can. But for today, I am the one who gets to ask the questions, and I'm so grateful for that. We have got none other than Walker and Wesley Wildman. Now, both of them are vice presidents at American Family Association. Both of them are sons of Tim Wildman and grandsons of Don Wildman, the founder of the American Family Association. We're talking about the movie about Don's life. It's Culture Warrior, Don Wildman, and the Battle for Decency. You can see this movie for free. Just go to culturewarrior.movie. That's culturewarrior.movie. And you can see the remarkable story of a minister who just didn't like what he saw on TV, called his congregation to action, and the rest was history. On Monday, we were able to interview M.D. Perkins, the director of that film, and he talked about his journey from Indiana Jones to American Family Association and had such great insight. But today, I'm just delighted and honored to bring to you, I know, two figures who are very well loved in the American Family Association family. Walker and Wesley, thank you so much for joining us today. I am very grateful.
Hey, very welcome. Well, thank you for having us. And you know what? That's the first time Walker looked to me to go first. I appreciate that,
yeah,
Walker.
You know, I figured I would respect my elders, and you've got a couple of years on me. So I'll let Wesley speak first. But yeah, Jessica, Dr. Peck, glad to be with you.
Well, you know, I asked before we went on air if you two were going to behave, and you said yes, and that was a little disappointing to me, so I hope that we'll have a little fun here today.
I did say this. I said we will keep it professional, but just make sure the mics are off during the break because, you know.
Okay. Who knows what's going to be said.
Who knows? That brother rivalry, I know it. You know, I've got two boys at home, and I know y'all have boys, too. There's a lot of boys in the Wildman family, and I love that kind of rivalry.
I think there is an unfair advantage here, though, yes. Because every time Dr. Peck and Stephanie come into Tupelo, you're on their show.
That's true.
So there's something going on there that I'm not a part of.
You're saying the referees are in my corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm pretty hearing. Much.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But we'll see how the segment goes.
If we're going to make it fair, though, you know, Wesley did take a very significant injury and still came on the show, Walker, even though his head was split open.
Yeah.
He had stitches. Right. He was still there.
Now.
I mean, how can I not love
Mistakes
that?
Mistakes happen. Yeah.
But we also do love to give Wesley a hard time. Like, yes. I'm never going to let him forget spilling the coffee.
Yeah, the spilling the coffee. And I still have my sippy cup that you got
you
me.
You do. See? Exactly. See? So all's fair in love and family here. Hey, I love that.
Hey, one other thing to add here is that Walker and I, we enjoy picking on each other and having a good time because it keeps it fun around the office. It kind of loosens everybody up on a tight day. But in reality, he and I are so busy, we don't even have enough time to legitimately have something to pick on each other about.
That's a good
point. He's got five kids. I've got three. We've got activities and work and everything. But we are so much appreciative that AFR produces a radio program with the content like yours for families like Walker and ours so that we can and the busyness and the craziness of all that we've got going on, the content you produce and you share sure helps families like ours.
Yes.
I really hope so. And I know, Wesley, you and I have had lots of conversations about both of us on a personal level as a mom, as a dad, trying to put down our phone and listen with our face. And we need all of the encouragement that we can get. And there's so much encouragement that I found in watching the story of your grandfather, of Don Wildman. Now, I was not blessed to meet him. You know, we're still kind of a baby around here as far as American family goes, because when people come, man, they stay. They do not leave. Right. And so I feel like I'm just still a baby in there, and I wasn't able to meet him in person, but I've heard, of course, so many stories from so many people who have talked about his legacy. And I told you I was going to ask you this, because the first thing that I want to know is, who was his favorite? Who was his favorite grandchild?
That's a way to start the segment. Walker and I would agree, we've talked about it, that Riley.
Yeah.
Riley. Would be.
I would agree with that.
She was actually, now Walker, there's a lot of us and a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Help me if I get this wrong, but she would have been Papa's only granddaughter.
Wow.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah. So,
okay.
So on top of being a granddaughter, she was his only granddaughter. And so it's safe to say, if you have to out loud pick, it's going to be Riley, my sister. Walker and I's sister.
Yeah.
I hope this doesn't cause any more problems, but, you know, Riley has her own spot on my show tomorrow all to herself. So if you want to hear from Riley.
She's quiet. Well, if you're going to interview her, good luck. She's quiet. You're going to have to.
She's getting better, though.
Yeah, she has.
Over the years.
Yeah, she is. She's going to tell us all about how we can contribute. And she's been on several times now. And I appreciate. And looking at what you all do, the three of you together, you know, one of the things that I talked to MD about on Monday is that it is so encouraging when we see statistics from people we respect, like Dr. George Barna, which I cannot say his name without also giving the disclaimer, he's a Yankees fan. But we have moved past that. You know, he told me my love of the Astros is disgusting, but that's okay. We've agreed to disagree on that. But he talks about how 75% of young people will walk away from their faith today. How did that not happen in your family?
I'll answer and then Walker can go. I'll try to keep it short. Now with the question directed to me direct or to us as children of Don Wildman, is that what you
however you want to answer it. I'd want to know how you see it from your seat.
Papa was a patriarch to our family. He was faithful to his wife, Linda, my grandmother, for all those years, and to his children, and his faithfulness to God and to doing what's right regardless of the appearance or the outcome or whatever anybody may audible, you know, say about him. He handled that with great with courageous and dignity. Now, he also was real in the sense that he had moments where he expressed how difficult it was to bear or to carry the cross. You know, the Bible says to take up your cross daily. And he, while he did maintain his faithfulness, he had moments of discourage and doubt. And so being able to experience both ends of that and be able, and my dad to be able to share that with me, really encouraged me and also reminded me that it is okay to have those emotions and those feelings, but then we also have God's word. Now, fast forward a little bit later, my dad, Walker and I's dad, he was in many ways like Papa in that sense. And from a parenting standpoint, specifically for Walker and I, my parents were very biblical in their raising of us. And then within that, they also gave us just enough room to help us at the right age to learn things on our own, but also not so much so that we would make unregrettable decisions, you know. So they had a great balance. If you were to give a tweet version of what their parenting, which is hard to do, but they gave us just enough. They balanced giving us just enough of freedom and liberty through the progression of our ages, but yet at the same time, right was right and wrong was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say for me, the godly parents, godly grandparents, and then ultimately God's providence is what allowed me to be where I am today as a born-again believer and working in the ministry here. Because, as you know, Dr. Peck, parents can do all the work in the world to lead their children down the right path, but ultimately, as children become adults, they have to make decisions on their own on which kind of life they're going to live and whether they're going to be faithful to God or not. So ultimately, the Lord saved me, and as a young man in high school, saved me. And so we're just glad to be here, and we're still trusting in the Lord to guide and direct our path.
Well, I know your family has just encouraged so many, and you're very transparent about saying we're not a perfect family. There's no such thing as a perfect family. But from my seat where I see it, it's beautiful and encouraging to see those healthy relationships. And Walker, I'll start with you on this, because it's one thing to follow in the footsteps of your father's faith, of your grandfather's faith. That's one thing in and of itself that's pretty remarkable. It is a completely different ball game, no pun intended there, referencing our previous talk on that, but to follow in the footsteps of their ministry. Mm-hmm. How did you, I would like to know from both of you, Walker, you can start, how did you come to follow in the footsteps of their ministry?
Well, I wanted to actually be in law enforcement in college. So it wasn't until probably sophomore year that I began to realize that, hey, I might could work at AFA. Because I was very interested in political science, so I majored in poli-sci, and but I was kind of debating, do I go down like the criminology and law enforcement route, or do I do more politics? And so I leaned on the political side. So it wasn't until probably my sophomore year of college that I was really committed to, hey, this career and my interest could work at AFA. So that's when I made that decision, and of course I graduated. The stipulation from Dad was always, if you want to work in the family ministry, you have to first graduate college. So there's no skipping out on the education. not that college is for everyone, but he wanted to make sure that we did our due diligence and that we learned a good work ethic and how to, you know, work for ourselves and for on our own, and which is what a lot of higher education teaches you. So sophomore year of college is kind of when I began to see the picture that I could work at AFA.
Well, that's so interesting to me, Walker. I want to know, how did that conversation go with your dad when you went to him and told him, hey, I want to work here? Because it sounds like you didn't have any preset pressures on you, that you didn't feel obligated, that it was open-ended. What was that conversation like?
Well, that's what Wes and I and Riley and others appreciate, is there was no, you know, expectation that, hey, you will work at AFA. although the pressure, you got to think the pressure was probably there as far as my dad's thinking, as far as, hey, who's going to continue the family ministry? Who's going to continue the legacy? That's probably always a thought in someone's mind
because
as a leader.
It had to have been because he never assumed we were.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So
that conversation was pretty casual, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it was, because we just talked about, you know, when you're in college, you have to figure out what degree you're going to go down. And a lot of people change their degree four times. Mm-hmm. And they even get to their junior year and change their degree. So, it was very casual, no pressure involved. And Wes and I have been here over 10 years. He's been here closer to probably 12 or 13. But we're leading the ministry along with our dad as president, and we have other vice presidents as well. But God's just blessed it. That's the basic summation of where we are today.
Well, Walker, you just used my favorite two words together in the history of ever, but God has blessed it. And Wesley, don't think you're off the hook, because I want to know. I feel like we have a special insider access today to some of these stories, and families do want to know, how did that happen? And I think it's really important to know, no, you weren't forced into it. You're there of your own free will. I think that's so important. Listen, go to culturewarrior.movie and see the story of this remarkable family. And we will have more with Walker Wildman and Wesley Wildman when we come back. You won't want to miss it. I'll see you on the other side of this break. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Hey, heard you were up all night, thinking about how your world ain't right, and you wonder if things will ever get better, and you're asking why is it always raining on you, when all you want is just a little good news, instead of standing there stuck out in the weather. Welcome back, friends. That song is Stronger by Mandisa, and we're talking today about something that made the American family a little stronger. We're talking about the legacy of Don Wildman, and he has a movie out about his life. He has gone on to be with the Lord, but there is a movie out about his life that you can watch for free online. All you have to do is go to culturewarrior.movie, that's culturewarrior.movie, and look at the remarkable legacy of Don Wildman. And Don was a preacher, a pastor, and was watching TV with his family one night and was really dismayed by the things that he saw, urged his congregation to turn off their TVs. It was picked up by the media, and the rest, as they say, was history. We interviewed the filmmaker, M.D. Perkins, on Monday. Great interview, great insight into looking at curating the memory of the life of this man, the legacy of this man. And we're talking to the legacy and his grandsons today, Walker and Wesley Wildman. And before the break, I was talking about how did they come to work at AFA, because it's one thing, it's a pretty miraculous thing, actually, to follow in the footsteps of their faith. We know that more than 3/4 of young people will walk away from their faith when they reach adulthood. That has not happened for Walker and Wesley. And not only have they followed in the footsteps of their grandfather and their father's faith, they've followed in the footsteps of their ministry. So Wesley, let's start with you. How did you come to work at AFA?
Sure, I'd love to answer that. Before I do, let me say for those that are listening, please, 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 if you have not seen the movie, you will not be disappointed with the quality and the engagement that the movie presents. So go check out culturewarrior.movie. It's very engaging. It's from a film standpoint, as far as audio and graphics and entertainment, it's got to be one of the best ones American Family Studios has produced. Each time they do one, they get better and better, and you can expect nothing less with this one. Now, to answer your question, my senior year in college, my last year in college, which I worked really hard, I got through with a 4-year degree in 5.5 years. So now I do need to take personal responsibility for a half a semester, but I will blame my counselor who's supposed to help with my scheduling for the other one. Nonetheless, together, her and I, her failures and mine, we got it done in 5.5 years. Now, toward the end of my, last half a semester, I began getting the realization, like, hey, this is coming to an end. I need to consider what I'm going to do for a job. So that just goes to tell you that I didn't assume I was coming to AFA. My parents didn't assume I was coming to AFA. Now, with that said, I want to emphasize that I always appreciated the work that AFA did, and I always wanted to have a part in it. Now, I didn't know what that looked like, whether that was some volunteer work or maybe that was, you know, answering phones in a share-a-thon. To what degree, I was unsure, but I had always wanted to see the ministry thrive and do well. So I began praying. I laid out the options before the Lord and said I felt like I was a gifted coach. Then I also enjoyed teaching the Bible, so being a pastor involved in ministry in that sense was on the table. I love working outside, so landscape architecture. And then, of course, the fourth one was work at AFA. So I laid them out before the Lord, began praying, and over a 6-month span, the Lord began to answer my prayer request by removing one at a time off the table as far as where he would want me to begin my work. And then what was left was working at AFA. So he answered the question and said, this was years ago, that I would have the opportunity to coach my kids. I believe he shared that with me over 12 years ago. And for the last 4 years, I've had the opportunity to coach my son. So that came true 6 years later. Then I went on to go to Downline Bible Institute for 1 year, and that's where I got a training in the Bible. And so I've had the opportunity in a variety of different ways, whether that be literally a Sunday service, morning service, all the way to a small group or even Boys and Girls Club. I've been able to teach the Bible in different settings. And I still have not quite figured out where the landscape architecture comes into play, because when I started, before I had kids, my yard looked decent, and now that I have kids, it is at the very bottom. But maybe we'll get some good weather soon, and I'll find some time. But that's how I ended up working at AFA, and I blink, and now I've been here full-time for 11 years. Prior to coming on full-time, I had the opportunity to work in almost every department here at AFA, so I had a good grasp of the inside scoops, the line work as far as, you know, the conversations that take place at the coffee pot and that kind of stuff. And so I've thoroughly enjoyed my time here.
Well, you know, when the next documentary is made about the Wildman siblings, Wesley, I don't think that they're going to have your lawn featured in your legacy. So you don't need to worry about that. You know, that is not what's going to be there. What's going to be there is that you listened with your face, and maybe, you know, your kids will be joining in the ministry. That would be truly remarkable.
They're up here all the time. Walker's boys were just up here on their lunch break.
Yeah. I think that we could make them honorary employees.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah.
I'm
I got
sure
Legos
they could.
In the office.
I'm sure they're probably like really excellent spokespeople that they know exactly what to say and when to say it. And, you know, that's one of the things that really struck me in watching the documentary about your pawpaw, about your grandfather, Don Wildman, and looking at the courage that he had, because what he did was not easy. He was ridiculed. He was sued. He was, you know, belittled. He was bullied. He was, I mean, just put in any scary thing that's there. And, you know, not much has changed. And I've seen both of you having to deal with situations like that with hostile opponents, you know, people who are really against the work that you're doing. How do you draw from the courage of your grandfather and your father to have courage to do the work that it takes to do what you're doing today? Because it's not easy.
Well, you everybody that comes to work at AFA soon realizes that what how the media and the people who don't agree with our work, how they describe AFA and how they characterize AFA and my grandfather Don Wildman is completely different than the actual AFA. Anybody who broaches the door of our building or interacts with AFA or listens to AFR understands that my grandfather started the ministry because he had, number one, a love for God, number two, a love for family, and number three, a love for country. And he wanted to see Christianity not just preserved in America but thriving in America. And the cultural environment that was beginning to take shape in the 70s and 80s was one very hostile to Christianity and very kind of degrading when it comes to human morality. So AFA is one of the most caring, loving environments for fellow citizens and fellow believers, because we want everyone to do well, and we want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone who tunes in, everyone who interacts with our various curriculum, our various programs and events. And so it's just been amazing over the years to see how God is using AFR, American Family Association, to impact lives all around the country. And Wesley gets letters every day, every week, of people's lives that have been impacted because of my grandfather starting this ministry and listening to God. And, of course, the Lord is honoring that.
Hey, Jessica, you know what? I actually had the opportunity before my pawpaw passed away, and I can't remember the exact timeline. It was several years, but it felt like it was the day before he passed away. But several years before he passed away, I had the opportunity to ask my pawpaw the very question you just asked us.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what did he say?
Oh, I remember vividly what he said. And it was, again, he spoke in it was plain speak, and it was most of the time very short and on to the next thing. He didn't never mixed words, never had, a paragraph for a no or for a paragraph for a yes. And so he said it this way. He said, "Well, Wesley, when people talk ugly or mean or whatever," I'm paraphrasing here, he said, "I ask myself and the Lord, is their criticism fair, regardless of what side they're on, regardless of how, you know, what their approach is?" He said, "I ask myself and the Lord, is their criticism fair? And if it is, then I make the changes that I need to make. Otherwise, I just ignore them."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I ignore them. I was like, oh, okay.
That's simple.
Yeah. So that was his answer, and I've applied that to my life from that moment forward.
Yeah.
If somebody has something mean to say about the way I coach or the way I parent or whatever, I ask myself, is there some truth here that I can take away and maybe do better? And if not, if they're just out to cause problems and be mean, and they're not looking to encourage or uplift or reconcile or anything, if they're not trying to do anything biblically healthy, then I just ignore them.
That's good.
You know, I see two things in that. I see, one, a great humility, because even if it's somebody that he doesn't agree with or someone who seems to be attacking him or having nefarious motivations, which there were plenty of those, but being willing to ask and say, is any of this true? That just speaks to me of humility. And the second thing that I think of is courage and his calling, knowing whose voice he was listening to and knowing that he was really seeking to be a faithful servant of God. And the rest of it was just noise. And that sounds, it's like Walker said, that's so simple, but it's so much easier said than done. But one of the things I'm so grateful for is, I think, you know, I'm dating myself here, but I'm about as old as AFA. And I think, you know, here I was a baby, you know, not aware of any of these things. And you guys are even younger than me. But here was your grandfather on the forefront and fighting for future generations. And he knows now this side of heaven, the impact that, but we don't know it this side of heaven, and looking to see how important it is, the groundwork that you're doing for generations that are maybe not even born yet. And so how do you look at that, carrying the legacy of the Wildman family and the work that you're doing? How do you see that, where you've been and where you're going?
I think I describe what we're doing today, what AFA is doing today as a whole, and this is truly a team effort. We've got over 130 staff members here full time. What we're doing is we're being good stewards of that which has been which God has entrusted to us. So in this instance, in this context, it's the ministry of AFA. And so our goal, whether it's Wesley, myself, or anyone else on staff, is to be a good steward of that which God has entrusted us, and also to ensure that AFA is here for another 45, 50 years, because 2027 will be our 50-year anniversary. So our job is to ensure the longevity of the ministry. And now, of course, we can't do it on our own. We need the Lord's guidance and the Lord's blessing and the Lord's help. And I think as long as we're honoring Him and we're being good stewards of that which He's entrusted us, I think the ministry will live to see another 50 years. That sounds like a lot of responsibility, but it's really simple, Dr. Peck. It's really simple if you just stay focused on your area of influence that God has given you.
What do you think, Wesley?
All right, what was the question?
That was 3 minutes ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, looking at just what you're doing now, how it's changed maybe since when your grandfather has started it, but what has stayed the same?
Three things have stayed the same. Three things. One is that we've not compromised the truth. Two, we're still not in debt. We don't owe any man anything. Now, I say that, but also over the years, I've learned to caveat. I understand where some ministries, startups, and others, I understand there's a time for some ministries to borrow money for a particular season with a purposeful plan to pay that back. However, I don't agree, and I don't think the Bible agrees with having thousands and thousands and millions of dollars of debt while you're also trying to fundraise. Mm-hmm. And so we've never had to do that. We've never done that thanks to Pawpaw's stewardship from day one. So don't compromise truth. We're not in debt. And third, and one thing I've had to learn the most to do from Pawpaw, it's been more adapt. I've had to adapt. It's been harder for me to adapt to, not now, but at the beginning stages. And that's that we share our platform with other ministries that are doing similar work than us, but not identical. We share a platform. And the easiest example, and there's a dozen of them or more, but the easiest one is 8 Days of Hope, because we have such good friendships with Steve Tiber and their whole team. They're just rocking it. They're doing great work for the Lord. They're doing disaster relief. Now, they're doing more than that, but just for simplicity's sake, they're doing disaster relief work. We're doing culture warrior work, okay? Mm. But yet we come together and we give them an opportunity to promote their work on our platform, and we work together. And so being able to do that and not be...
it's territorial.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I think the Lord blesses that.
Yeah, not being so territorial with the platform that God's given us, not that we've created ourselves, has been... those are the reasons why... Those are the things that we've done from the very beginning. We called to Pawpaw, and those are the things we'll continue to do.
Well, you can go and see the legacy of this remarkable family, the remarkable Don Wildman. You can go to culturewarrior.movie, see the movie for free. And just as Wesley said, it is excellently done. It is so gripping. I mean, you're going to get sucked into it. So make sure when you start watching it, you have some time to watch it because you won't be able to turn it off. And when we come back, guys, I want to talk about how the fact that it's not just about the Wildman family, it's about the American family and what you're doing as a family at AFA and the greater family in the United States and around the world. And I also want to know about your personal experience seeing this documentary for the first time. What was that like? We'll have more from Walker and Wesley Wildman when we come back.
Here's Dr. Carl Truman from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
The early church fathers viewed the scriptures as divinely inspired. Often they would use the image of a musical instrument, as if scripture had been written in the way that, say, notes come out of a flute when it's played by a flute player, as if the writer was the flute and the spirit was that which was creating the tune. Certainly they regarded scripture as authoritative. When you look at the writings of the Apostolic Fathers, they're very happy to quote scripture and consider that to have closed down the argument. So obviously the Apostolic Fathers rooted tremendous authority in the actual words of scripture itself, which implies they had a very high view of its inspiration.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. Skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought.
Welcome back, friends. That song is This Is My Father's World by the Worship Initiative, featuring Davey Flowers. And we are talking about the world today as a father and a grandfather saw it. And we are so privileged today to have the grandsons of Don Wildman, the founder of American Family Association, here in the same room on the same show. And let me tell you, they are busy at work on behalf of American Family Association, American Family Radio. Having been relatively new to AFR myself, I can tell you they lead with a servant's heart. And, you know, before the break, Wesley and Walker, we were talking about how we're focusing, of course, this documentary about your grandfather's life, which people can see for free at culturewarrior.movie. It's called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. And we're talking about the Wildman family, but it's so much bigger than that. The family at American Family Association, you really take that to heart. There are a lot of families that work there at AFA. So let's talk about the AFA family first. Walker, do you want to talk to that?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned earlier, we've got 130 plus staff members, and we actually employ a lot of husband and wives, a lot of spouses, which is great.
We also offer marriage counseling.
if needed. Hopefully it's not needed.
I'm kidding. That was a joke because they really, it's the opposite.
Yeah. So we have a great family-friendly atmosphere. We love when people bring their kids in the office, and the morale here, and I'm not just speaking this because I'm in leadership, but the morale here is truly encouraging to see. So I think it's a good example of how a work atmosphere can be enjoyable. It can be not only productive and everybody gets their work done, but they do so with a good attitude and a good morale. And we try our best to take care of our employees as a ministry. So, but all of this was set in place by our grandfather, Don Wildman. That's who we're talking about today. And I want to encourage folks, if you want the full story on Don Wildman, culturewarrior.movie is where to watch the full film. And you're getting kind of bits and pieces and a little bit behind the scenes here today. But the documentary, Dr. Peck, was just done so well
free.
By MD
it's
Perkins.
Free.
And it's free. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Especially in the post-Biden economy, free is important.
Yes.
So folks can go watch it at culturewarrior.movie.
Yeah, it was a project we did not want to hinder people with $5, $20. It is a $20 DVD if you were to go purchase. That's a quality. I mean, it's high quality, but it's free. You can go watch it.
You just gave me so much life, Wesley, by saying DVD. It made me feel like I'm maybe not that much older than you, that you know have a
That's
DVD.
Right.
We thought about doing a VHS, Dr. Peck.
Hey, I know VHS. I definitely know VHS. Well, tell me about your experience in watching this movie, because, of course, you knew this project was ongoing. You contributed to it. What was it like for each of you to sit down and watch it? Because like I said, and like you just said, Walker, this movie it's got so much drama in it. And it's really incredible what he was able to do, the odds that were stacked against him, and the difference that he was able to make in the culture. And we talked so much on Monday about him being ahead of his time, seeing these threats that were coming in an avalanche and being able to set an example for us and how to be a faithful servant. What was it like for you, for each of you, when you sat down and watched it, the whole thing from beginning to end for the first time?
Well, I was, I guess about halfway through, was like, I cannot believe that is my papa doing all
really?
That. Yeah, just really, really, the impact that he had on culture, on the church, and the American family was just hard to believe God would entrust any one man for that with that much platform and responsibility. But yet, at the same time, apparently he picked the right one, because Papa handled all that God gave him exceptionally well. He was above reproach in all that he did. That was one of my first thoughts. I remember thinking that, like, wow, that's my pop. Like, we're related. inspired that someone of his humility was able to be used in that way. And, don't ever know if that doubt I'll ever have that type of impact on, like he had, but I inspired to want to do the things that would at least give me the opportunity, because there's an old saying that says, you know, hard work doesn't guarantee success, but you can't have success without hard work. And so I would say Papa is, you know, a lot of the stuff no one of us is guaranteed to have the impact in the same way that Papa did, but you can't have any impact if you don't first also be faithful.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that I was reminded of as I was watching the film.
I actually learned, I learned new things about my grandfather in the documentary. Now,
That was my next question.
I did as well.
It wasn't a ton of things, and none of it was really groundbreaking, but there was just some intricate details about the early days of the ministry and
some of his connections.
Yeah, some of the connections, a couple of the boycotts, you know, I wasn't as familiar with, and some of the meetings that he led and the coalition efforts. But secondly, what I drew from the film is really what we wanted people to draw from it, and that is that each of us have a role in the kingdom of God, and each of us have a purpose to play during our short window on this earth. And so it was really challenging to me, not just from an AFA vantage point, but to just do everything that I can each and every day to be faithful to what God has called me to, and then let the Lord carry out the impact. You know, to Wesley's point, some people are all concerned about what their impact is, but they're not doing anything. They're too worried about the end result without focusing on the work that gets them there. So that's the challenge I got from it. And we have a great responsibility here at the ministry, because if we speak frankly about this and about ministries and organizations, Wesley's reminded me every 3 months that I think 85% of third generation family businesses fail. Mm-hmm. And that applies to family founded organizations as well. So the odds are against us, if you will. That brings a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure. And of course that 85% doesn't have to happen. That's because people lose sight of the original purpose and the vision of said organization or said business. But Wesley and I and the entire team here at AFA, we are more committed today than we've ever been on carrying on the legacy of our grandfather, Don Wildman, and ensuring that this ministry is here to impact generations to come.
You know, as I was watching the documentary, which I really didn't know very much about those early stories, as you were saying, you were learning things about those early days. I was learning a lot. And to me, there was an unsung hero also in this story, and that was your grandmother. And she was interviewed, of course, for the documentary and just spoke so well of her husband. And I thought of what she must have given, the fears that she must have had for his life, for their finances, for your safety, for all of those things. What do you see as her role in all of this?
Well, she was certainly a good, firm foundation, a good rock when things got difficult. And you could, I think, I'm pretty sure in there at least once, there were more than one time, but the film records at least one story where Mimi, my grandmother, Don's wife, shared about a time where Papa was at a low point and discouraged with, a lot of the times mm-hmm. with the church's lack of engagement and or the church coming after him in yeah. different ways. Mm-hmm. So her being there during those moments, and if nothing else, just being there for him to be able to express his emotions and feelings so that you could come out on the other end knowing what the, you know, being resolute in your mm-hmm. decision. Yeah. So that's the role that I got from the film. That
she
I,
was a critical support.
Yeah, critical support.
For him.
Doing what's right. Yep.
Yeah, and he did. A lot of folks don't know this, but he did face, and I'm not sure the film touches on this much, if at all, but he faced a lot of ridicule even amongst his own denomination. My grandfather, mm-hmm. our grandfather, was a Methodist minister, and he came out of the pulpit in order to start American Family Association. But in those early years, as he was still obviously in the Methodist denomination before they went off the tracks, he faced a lot of mockery and ridicule even amongst his own denomination. So that was discouraging as well. And some people, it's hard in such a Western Christian-friendly environment that even we still live in today to understand how could anybody like Don Wildman be ridiculed and mocked by other mm-hmm. Christians. Well, you'd be surprised that it happens. It happens out there. There's a lot of finger pointing and a lot of friendly fire, even amongst people who call themselves Christians.
And if I could, Dr. Peck, take yeah. a little liberty here.
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
A little liberty. And that's that as I was transitioning from college to working full time at AFA, I also, like Pawpaw, took a lot of criticism, some directly and some indirectly, and some just misleading pastors to say, you know, Christians shouldn't be involved in anything but sharing the gospel. Mm. Well, the gospel is what compels us to be involved in other parts of the culture, whether that mm-hmm. be in education, whether that be in government, whether that be in entertainment. And so we're supposed to influence everything around us for God's glory and for the good of others. And I could go on, but I'm going to stop there because it's that simple. Yeah. It is that simple. If God gives you breath in your lungs, your family is first and foremost the priority. Your local church is a priority. And then you have your local city and your state and your country that God's given you, because the country and the politics of things will become the great enemy of the family and the church if you're not involved in it. So yeah. It's not a complicated thing. Some pastors, for whatever reason, theologically try to make this complicated. It's not. The Bible is very clear about it. The gospel compels us to do the things that we do here at AFA, and we have a core values and a mission statement that keep us in line with Scripture. And the reason I wanted to take a little liberty there and share that is because we have mm-hmm. people that are listening now that feel incompetent or feel like they can't do things. They feel like their hands tied behind their back because they've got some pastor who's got 4 degrees that say, hey, Christians are not supposed to be politically involved, or not supposed to be involved. They're supposed to just share the red letters. If Jesus didn't say it, don't do it. And I'm just telling you, that's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
We have the whole counsel of God, Genesis to Revelation, and almost everything that we want to have answered is right there.
Well, you know, I appreciate the platform that you've given me and the opportunity to share and to serve our audience. I think about our listeners all the time. And I think, you know, I barely graduated community college, guys. Like I started on the struggle bus because I was working three jobs to put myself through school.
You
I was
laughed
the first...
at my 5-year degree.
I did a little bit. Just a little bit. I know that was a little hypocritical of me. See, this is where we're talking about, you know, Christians giving other Christians a hard time. We're just modeling that right here. But, you know, it is amazing. And just to share the perspective that we have and to share the legacy of our own personal faith, I think that's so deeply encouraging to other people who are listening. And there's so many times where we'll have just testimonies of faithfulness on that are so encouraging because people can look and say, okay, if you can go through that and you can still stand there and say that God is good, that is really powerful. And one of the most famous quotes that your grandfather had, that your papa had, was, God does not require that we be successful. He only requires that we be faithful. Mm-hmm. And whether or not we're successful isn't always within our determination. And, you know, as I was watching the movie, which, by the way, go watch the movie for free, culturewarrior.movie. You can stream it for free right there online. I was thinking of It's a Wonderful Life, and the opening lines of that movie are, you know, of course, God is, I won't go into the theology of it, but it's a heartwarming story. And God's sending an angel down and he says, you know, this man needs our help. And he said, is he sick? And he said, no, worse. He's discouraged. And that line has always stuck with me. And that's one of the things I appreciate the most about AFR is the ability to get on the air and to encourage people, to encourage them with hope. I think that is one of the biggest things they need. And I just want to thank you both for everything that you do, for the way that you're carrying on the legacy of your grandfather as a faithful servant. Thank you on behalf of all of our listeners, everyone who's ever been impacted by any ministry at American Family Association. Thank you guys so, so very much.
Hey, amen. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, amen. We're glad to be here, and we love our supporters all around the country who financially support our work and pray for us. And our team here at AFA is in the fight for the long haul.
And your program and your content could not fit better with what we're trying to accomplish here at American Family Radio.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to have to send in my donation for you to say that. So
right.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Listen, go to culturewarrior.movie. See the remarkable story. I know I keep saying remarkable, but it is because we're talking about it again and again, and I will continue to remark upon it. And tomorrow, we will have the favorite grandchild in the bunch, the sister, none other than Riley Wildman. She'll be on for a few minutes with us at the beginning. Listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you as you be a culture warrior for the next generation. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.